You're about to listen to a message from Faith Tabernacle, located at 3956 Blackstock Road in Talmo, Georgia, 30575. We are a few minutes south of Gainesville, off of Highway 129, and also close to Jefferson. And here is Pastor John Duncan.
There's nothing greater that we could do than just praise God. You know what I'm saying? I tell you, we're going to worship Him in a new heaven and a new earth. We're going to have 1,000 years where we just worship Him. And then we're going to get a new body. A new body. No more sickness, no more pain. The whole earth is going to get renewed. Going to be my wife and I going to spend a couple million years in some place called Bora Bora. She found it. You know, the whole earth's going to have the curse taken off of it. Heaven and earth are going to become one. And Jesus is going to set up an earthly throne in the New Jerusalem. And if I don't get a place there, we're going to spend a couple million years down there at the beach or something like that in an uncursed earth. I mean, we looked up at these mountains on the way here, and we were just, how beautiful it is. It just speaks a little bit of how beautiful it's going to be. And that new earth. Amen. Praise God. When you got a new body, hallelujah, you might be able to just swim for miles. I don't know. Run for days on end. Who knows? You know, that new body you're going to get is going to be fantastic. It's going to be suited. Just like sin never touched you. It's like sin, like Adam never sinned. Everything Adam lost in the fall, Jesus is going to regain. Hallelujah. It's going to be greater than Adam walking in the garden. Because Jesus didn't fail at the cross. He won the victory. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm just blessed to be here with y'all this week. I aim to be a blessing. I aim to help and just back up what Brother Jonathan's doing here. Brother Jonathan is one of my favorite pastors in our churches because he loves what I'm doing downtown. He has been so amazingly supportive. Y'all are extremely blessed to have Jonathan to be your pastor. Such a young man to be so excited about the Lord. He sits on the presbytery, and I'm telling you, he lights those guys on fire. Not that they're not on fire, I just mean he just encourages. He's got a great gift to encourage and to bless, and he's an amazing blessing to our movement. And I'm thankful to be here with y'all tonight, to be a part of this revival. There's nothing we need to do in this hour before Jesus comes back than to make sure our spirits are good and revived. Can you say amen? Just to make sure there's a living, burning fire that doesn't go out on the altar of our heart. That there's just one preacher said, a Baptist preacher said a true thing. He said, one thing the saints need is revival, and they need it often. You know, it's a great church out in Arkansas, and they have 4 revivals a year. I love that. Every spring, summer, winter, and fall, they have a revival. Every house in that community in Falk, Arkansas, if you join that church, you get a row of houses, and you are to invite them to one of those 4 revivals every year. And they have them the same weeks. You know, the dates change. Let's say the first week of April, maybe their spring revival or something like that. And that church, 1 out of 3 people in Falk, Arkansas, goes to that little holiness church out in the middle of nowhere, packed out, full of the Spirit of God. And I believe somehow Pentecostals have gotten away from revival. But we need to get back to understanding night after night, coming back and telling that body, I'm not going to do what the devil wants me to do, but I'm going to worship God. I'm going to gain ground, you know. And you can gain enough ground that you get that life and you get that fire flowing. And the praise of God doesn't come from an unwilling heart, but just from a willing heart, where you just would rather be praising God than to be watching the television. Can you say amen? I tell you, I'd rather be here tonight worshiping God than be anywhere in the world. If you have your Bibles, let's open to 1 Kings chapter 18. I'm going to preach a little bit tonight out of my favorite chapter in the Old Testament. I love this story of Elijah and the prophets of Baal. Why don't we stand one time tonight, one more time. 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 24. I want to preach tonight on the God that answers by fire. You still believe in a God that answers by fire, answers prayer, heals the sick? saves the lost, sanctifies, and fills with the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's the God we serve. He's not a dead God that just, we're not praying to a God that's wood or something fashioned by man's mind or hands. We serve a true and living God, and when we ask, He answers prayer. Here in 1 Kings chapter 18, He says, "And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God that answereth by fire, let him be God." And all the people answered and said, "It is well spoken." He said, "Let the God that answereth by fire, let him be God." Is that your God tonight? Does your God answer prayer? Amen. Does your God deserve praise? Does your God deserve you to say hallelujah? Why don't we do that before we sit down? Why don't we just say hallelujah? Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say thank God. Thank God. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah, Father. We praise you. We worship you, Father. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this evening, God, that you're here among us, that you're walking up and down these aisles. You're going to heal the sick. Save us. Meet us around these altars, Lord, because you're the God that answers by fire. I thank you, Lord, your fire will fall. Your anointing will come, Lord Jesus, and you're stirring the saints. I thank you, Father God. You're getting people ready. You're touching people in this church, Lord Jesus. We pray, Father, for Pastor Jonathan as he's there. We pray for his father-in-law, Lord, that which has kept him there. We just pray an anointing, heal that sick person in Jesus' name. I pray for every sick person, every hurting person, every person hard to hear, and I pray for every person that needs a touch of God tonight. In the name of Jesus, I pray your touch even come upon them right now in the name of Jesus. Everybody that's got darkness in their soul, I pray light come upon them. Everybody that needs help from God, I pray right now in the name of Jesus, bodies be healed, souls be set aflame, God. I thank you, Lord. Those that need revival will get revival tonight. We'll give you the praise and the glory and the honor. Hallelujah. If you need healing, if you need blessing tonight, lift your hands up and say, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Say, thank you, Lord, for my answer. I serve a God that answers prayer. Amen. You can ask and believe and receive from the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated if you can. What a great story when the prophet said, "We're going to have a contest." Got all these false prophets together up there on Mount Carmel. One man against thousands. One man against all these false prophets. He didn't say, "Let's have an intellectual arm wrestling contest," did he? He didn't say, "Let's debate this thing," did he? He didn't say, "Let's who's the smartest. Let's figure out who your smartest is, and Elijah's going to get up there and they're going to have some debate and figure out who they're going to serve." No, Elijah said, "What we're going to do is we're going to serve the God that answers by fire." And the people said, "It's well spoken." That world's still looking for somebody that can call on the name of a God and that God manifest. You know, we've reduced Christianity down to some kind of debate, some kind of talk. But the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but a power. And here we have today in our text, we have Elijah. And he says, "The God that answers by fire, let him be God." And the people said, "It's well spoken." There's a whole world out there waiting for somebody that can bring a God that answers by fire. Looking for people that can actually pray and receive answered prayer. In John chapter 10, Jesus said, "If you don't believe me for my words, believe me that I do miracles." Read that. He said, you know, you can believe. You know, we need to be able to come around these altars in revival and say, "Hey, God's going to answer prayer. He's going to touch your sick body. He's going to revive your soul. And he's going to be a God that answers by fire." But we have today a day in which we see the Lord is coming back sooner and sooner and sooner. We see people coming to the understanding of how soon the Lord is coming. My heart's burdened, though, because we see the Lord coming. Soon, his soon coming is getting closer and closer every day, isn't it?
Don't you realize every time your heart beats, that's one less heartbeat you have to serve Jesus, to get your soul right, to get on fire for God. But we see the visible church of Jesus Christ growing more apathetic. This is the time not to grow apathetic. Amen. I'm deeply stirred as I hear the cries of thousands of people. People are in debt now. People are dealing with depression. I've not seen so many people on depression pills and dealing with difficulties in their life. Now is the time that we bring ourselves back to the altar and demonstrate the God that answers by fire. See, we got powerless programs, self-help seminars, chicken suppers. But now is the time that our church be a voice in our communities for God. Amen. See, these are the words of one of the greatest prophets who's ever lived. And he lived in a day when prophets spoke soft words and they'd forsaken the God of their fathers. But in the midst of this situation, Elijah came forward and challenged those people with total disregard for his own safety. He challenged the king and the false prophets. These words were spoken to a backslidden Israel. They were a people who had once known the goodness of God. They'd seen the great deliverance and power. They'd seen the Red Sea. They heard the stories of the parting of the waters, the fire by night, the cloud by day. They'd heard about those things, but empty forms had come to characterize their worship. And in a time like that, silence would be a sin. It's time for the church to rise up one more time. One more time, let this church rise up again and be what God has called it to be. If you know anything, you know that this 1 Kings 18 is speaking of a time which we're living in. It's a picture of the time we're living in. People are again looking for reality. The sick come to our church sick and they leave sick. It's about time that we call on a God that answers by fire. People are crying out for reality. They need answers somewhere, somehow. See, there's such a thing as losing sight of the God that answers by fire and turning to vain religion, turning to cold as dust, dry as a dead corpse. If your God does not answer by fire, you need to take heed that you're worshiping at the shrine of a man-made God. When I was at Auburn and I was a campus pastor, I had the most fired up group of about 30 or 40 young people your minds could ever imagine. God had blessed me. I would go down to the Pizza Hut. And at the Pizza Hut, we'd go in there to get pizza. And I'd kid with them. We've been in here 10 minutes and not one of you has preached the gospel, not told anybody about Jesus. All of a sudden, on their own, they'd start standing up in the chairs and start preaching the gospel. I said, I just kidding. Sit down. Sit down. They go kick us out of here. We'd get kicked out of Walmart, get kicked out of every place imaginable. Had one student went in the elevator. Now, getting them fired up was not my problem. Wisdom was what they needed. They get in the elevator, not the escalator, but the elevator on campus at Auburn University. They wait till the door closed. They turn around, start preaching the gospel. One time a professor come over and started strangling one of my students. He come out of there so fired up, you wouldn't have believed it. For getting strangled for the gospel of Jesus. My wife, she was praying one day and the Lord instructed her to stand up in her classroom. This is when she was a student at Auburn. Is that okay with anybody? I went to Alabama, so she went to Auburn. Y'all can forgive us for that. Amen. Amen. We're living in Athens now, okay? But here's my wife. Here's the Holy Ghost. Says, I want you to stand up in class tomorrow and share your testimony. Man, my wife starts to shaking, starts getting scared. Starts saying, oh, I'm going to have to pray for this. She's on fire. She knows she's going to obey God. She gets up early in the morning, has a prayer meeting of all prayer meetings, reads her Bible, and says, I better get to class before I chicken out. She gets over there to class, gets to class, and all of a sudden she sits down. She's 30 minutes early. Nobody's in there. She's all by herself. She's got 30 minutes to chicken out. As soon as the students come in, she's going to stand up and share the gospel. Next thing you know, my wife's walking up and down the halls of Auburn University praying, seeking God. I need your help, Lord. I'm going to be bold as a lion. The wicked flee when no man pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. Give me help. My wife's walking up down there, and she said, well, I might as well go ahead and get this over with before my class starts. I'm going to knock on the door. This was common for sorority girls to come knocking on the door of a classroom before the professor comes in. Be 20, 30, 40, 50 students sitting in that classroom, say, I need to make an announcement. My wife go over there, knock on the door, says, I need to make an announcement. She'd step in there and say, Jesus Christ is coming back. He changed my life. I was this way. He came. I come in this way. He changed me. And she got out of there. She felt so full of the anointing and power. She went in the next classroom, knocked on the door, said, I've got an announcement. Jesus Christ is coming back. You better get right, tight, purified, and white. Better start living like Jesus might come tonight. Turn or burn, comply or fry. She was preaching all those things. She's so fired up. By the time she got back to her classroom, the whole place is full of college students. She gets in there and says, I've got an announcement to make. She shared her whole testimony. And then guess what? She had to sit down among those people. She couldn't walk out and go to another classroom. Every eyeball's beaming in on her. But I'm just telling you to tell you all this, that we had a fired up group of young people. I mean on fire, turning flips for Jesus, so on fire. We used to go out to this place called Neons on the weekend, and students would be lining up, hundreds of them, maybe dozens of them, or maybe up to 40 or 50 would stand in a line like this, and they're going in there to get a drink and to have a party in the bar. And the house that I lived in was just within a rock's throw of this bar, and we'd stand about this far from that line. If they got out of the line, they had to go to the back of the line. So they were just sitting ducks in my view. They were just sitting there, and they had to one go in, one come out, one would go in. That place was all full, and I was standing there just preaching, talking to them about Jesus in that line. They can't go anywhere. If they swing at me, I'd just stay away arm's length. You know what I'm saying? And here they are. They've all been to church. They grew up. They know how to pray the sinner's prayer. I'm saved. I'm born again. You blankety blank blank blank. I'm going to get drunk. Don't tell me. You know, that's kind of religion they had. And all of a sudden, they're going in, coming out, going in, coming out. Got some of our students that already laid hands on people. They're falling out in the Holy Ghost, praying with people right out at Auburn University in front of Toomer's Corner, where they beat, if they beat UGA or Alabama, man, they throw up toilet paper all over the, looks like a snow or something like that. But right out in that area is where we were preaching, and this guy come out of there, his name is George. And George had heard about us Christians out there preaching that Holy Ghost, God that answers by fire kind of religion. And he came out of there and he said, now, Pastor John, I want to convert you to my religion. He said, would you allow me to convert all your students to your religion? Would you let me share what I believe about religion and God to your people? I said, okay, that'd be fine if you let me afterwards talk to you about mine. He said, okay. So I got about 10 or 12 of us together, and we stood around, and George went on for about 15 minutes, the craziest religion you ever heard in your life. I don't know, he had a little of this, a little of this, craziest stuff you ever heard of. And here George goes on and on and on, and he finally got done, and we didn't understand a word of what he said. It didn't matter, hill of beans, what he said anyway, because I got Jesus in my soul. Jesus didn't talk me into this. No man talked me into this. No man could talk me out of it. Amen. And I knew I wasn't going to talk him into Jesus Christ. I knew we were going to have a God that answers by fire. And all of a sudden, I said, George, are you done? He said, I'm done. I said, it's my turn. He says, yeah, it's your turn now. We made an agreement. I said, okay. I said, we're going to pray for you. So we got about 10 or 15 students. We gathered around him, laid hands. We bound, we cursed, we loosed, we cast out. We did, named it, claimed it, blabbed it, grabbed it, spoke in tongues, screamed, yelled, cried, lifted our hands up to the Lord. And I was watching him. And all of a sudden, his face went like this. I mean, it got brighter and brighter as we were praying for him. The more we prayed, the harder we prayed, the louder we prayed, the more the Holy Ghost come on George. And all of a sudden, I got done. I said, George, what do you think now? He said, I want to know one thing. What time does church start? I said, it's 3 o'clock it's 3 o'clock in the morning, Saturday night. We start church in a couple of hours. I said, we're going to take you home, but we're going to pick you up in the morning and take you down to the Pentecostal church on Sunday morning. We took him home. He got in his car, went home. We came to pick him up in the morning. He said when he laid down to go to sleep that night, he saw 10 or 12 college students lifting him up towards heaven. Every time he closed his eyes, he had a vision of God, him being brought up into God's presence by 10 or 12 college students. We brought him to church that Sunday. He was the first one down at the altar call to give his heart to Jesus Christ. The next Tuesday, he was filled with the Holy Ghost. And the next Friday night, he was introducing us to his sinner friends so they could get saved. I tell you, we got to get back to a God that answers by fire. I serve a God that if you pray, He'll answer. I'll tell you, I just come back from Brazil and we see deaf ears open up. We see people getting out of wheelchairs. This God is real. This God is real. When you start seeing that, it ends the argument. God spoke to me months ago that where the miracle begins, the argument ends. I went all across this country standing in the free speech areas of our country learning to debate. I learned to win every debate, but I did not win souls for Jesus Christ. I didn't see lives changed. But I'll tell you, when I call upon a God that answers by fire, they will see and know, and they'll say, I'll serve that God. We find our churches degenerating down to programs, degenerating down to chicken suppers, fish fries. But I'll tell you, we just need to look one more time to this God that answers by fire. Let the God that answered by fire come in here tonight. Every soul will be saved. Every sick body will be healed. Everybody that needs a touch of the Holy Ghost will get baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. See, when you get baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire, it sets your soul ablaze for Jesus Christ. And you'll want to see suffering, dying humanity saved. You'll want to see disease come off of people. The Holy Ghost kindles a fire of devotion, a hunger and thirst for righteousness. It can't be calmed. It can't be quieted. And Jesus said that He covers us like He the Bible says, had a zeal that ate at him. This baptism of fire will eat at you. It will get inside of you, and you will find such a passion and such a desire for Jesus Christ, you won't be able to contain it. But see, the church today is working on big shots. We got to have big shots on the TV, TVN, all kind of God TV. You want to be known, want to be a big shot. I tell you, we don't need any more big shots. We need some hot shots full of the Holy Ghost and fire of the living God. Can you say amen? I believe we need to get back to the altars again. I believe we need to call upon this God that answers by fire. See, when we get full of this Holy Ghost, such men are invincible, unshakable, unconquerable, and unquenchable. But there's a cool, calculated type of analyzed gospel that many people are preaching today, and it lends quite comfortably to the spiritual declension of our hour. Conference after conferences are called, committees are called, formed to discuss ways and means of revival, but revival can only be brought about by men and women that have an up-to-date experience with this God that answers by fire. D.L. Moody, he was in England, and he was at the great Albert Hall, and they were having a conference on evangelism. They were debating and talking and intellectualizing the ways in which they could win people to Jesus Christ. D.L. Moody got tired of that. He went out to the London Square and started preaching. As the people were dismissing, they walked out there to the London Square, and there's a man set on fire for God with thousands of people of him, and he's preaching. He's doing what they talked about. I tell you, we need more people to do instead of talk. Amen. We got too many people talking and debating, having committee meeting after committee meeting of ways and means. But I'll tell you, if somebody will just rise up in this last hour and say, I'm tired of talking, I'm ready to do it, I'm ready to get in these altars and be what God has called me to be, can you give Him praise? Can you give Him praise tonight? See, men need to believe what God said instead of debate about what God said. Seminaries today are set up not to just hear the Word of God and believe it. They're set up to scrutinize the Word of God. They're set up to try to figure out, did Jesus say that? Is this right? Did this really happen? And they go find out if some scientist that's an atheist can confirm the Word of God. I'll tell you, no scientist. We don't need scientists to try to prove the Word of God. What we need is somebody to just get a simple theology. I was blind, but now I see. One thing I know, this one statement brought more delivering power than all the arguments and disputes of the learned oppressors for thousands of years. See that one statement. Somebody that just believes the book doesn't have to have the book believe. You know, when you stand before God and you get His word and you say, Lord, you got to prove this word to me. That's like a child going to a parent and the parent saying, go clean up your room. Can you imagine this? Can you imagine this? Well, I've got to analyze and have a debate with my sister to find out whether this is true or not. What would you do? Whether we're going to debate. You think God is going to move among us while we're putting God on trial. We're trying to figure out if this is the Word of God. And God's trying to find out who will believe me for the self-authenticating, authoritative Word of God is true. Every preacher, he's got to be the most loved and most hated man in his town. Indifference is impossible. The Pharisees will rise up. They won't love us. But the reason the church has it so easy today is because we don't have the gospel in our day today. But you get that gospel going in the world today again, and we'll find out this Christianity was born in blood, sweat, and tears. Wiley Bishop in the 1920s got his truck and his trailer, and they were going into Seguin, Texas to be the first man to ever bring Pentecost to the state of Texas. He had all he had was a Bible and the Holy Ghost and a tent, and he's met about 2-3 miles outside of town, and the police officer said, we don't let trash like you in our Lutheran town. So we got enough religion to not have you in our town. See, Pentecostals used to be hated worse than gypsies because they believed in a God that answers by fire. They were the people that shouted. They were the people that responded. They were the people that believed when the Bible says lift your hands, they lifted their hands. They believed when the Bible says shout, they shouted. They believed this book when it says God said you can lay hands on the sick. They laid hands on the sick. They didn't debate and talk about whether it was the Word of God, whether it was for today. They proved it was of today. You want to know tonight that the God heals, come down here. Let me lay hands on you. God will heal your body. You want to know that there's a God that can speak through you in other tongues? Come down here. Get filled with the Holy Ghost and He will talk in a heavenly language through you. Can you say amen? See, Wiley Bishop, he goes to town. He planted that tent 2-3 miles outside of town. Around that tent was a barbed wire fence in the middle of a cow pasture, ridden with dung all the way around there. Wiley Bishop set up his tent, and he preached, I think, for 39 nights on nothing but the sin that was in Seguin, Texas. See, he was a holiness preacher that realized a man's got to be touched. A man's got to be hurt before he can be healed. But see, as long as we're content just to preach on the good side of God, I tell you, we're not going to touch people with the pain they need to come to an altar and be converted. And night after night after night, Wiley Bishop preached, and on the 39th, I think it was, God gave him this text, lift up your voice like a trumpet, cry aloud, and spare not. Night after night, those people from Seguin, Texas gathered around. They wouldn't come under the tent. They gathered around that barbed wire fence, listened to that man preach against everything they lived. He preached against once saved, always saved. He preached against sin every day. He preached against their boozing, their drinking, their carousing, their gambling. He preached against their fornication, their adultery. He preached against their lust, their pride, their unforgiveness. And night after night, they threw bottles at him. They hated him. He had to live in a schoolhouse with two men with a shotgun to try to keep him from being killed. And that man was hated. He was loved by some and hated by another. But he was not found
He was not, nobody was indifferent about that man because he was a man of God. They preached. He preached. He preached till that 39 night when the Holy Ghost came and fell in Seguin, Texas. And all those people gathered around that barbed wire fence, pushed down that barbed wire fence with their bare, bloody hands, crawled across that dung-ridden pasture to an old-fashioned altar. Revival broke out. And today there's more Pentecostal churches in the state of Texas than any other state in our nation. Because I tell you, there was a man who believed in a God that answers by fire. And I'm telling you tonight, I serve that same God. Do you serve that God? One more time, let the church be the church and believe in the God that heals. Some people just are not going to believe. We got a guy that comes down to my ministry. He says, I'm not going to believe till I have a miracle in my body. Prayed for his son. God took the pain out of his son's leg. He says, it's got to happen to me. And I'm believing God to heal him of his sickness. Because I serve a God that answers by fire. Don't you serve a real God? Not some dead God that's just some made up figment, some fairy tale. At no time and at no place have conditions changed. The devil has not been converted. We have not educated him out of his evil. Men have planted this church, lived dangerously, and if we're going to maintain this church, we're going to do the same. They didn't seek to live on comfortable terms with the world, but they challenged its systems, its methods, and consequently they were met with disfavor and persecution. Do what you will, say what you will, but Christianity is a living, throbbing, divine life. It's a passion, it's a power, and it'll meet the desperate needs of a dying world. I appreciate the God of the first century. I've read these Gospels. I've read the book of Acts. I've read of Mary Magdalene. I've read of Lazarus coming back from the dead. I've read of blind Bartimaeus being healed. I thank God for all the events that are recorded in the past in this book. But I don't live in the first century. I'm living in the 21st century. I want to see those works in my day, in my life. I was going down just recently to preach at Little Five Points in Atlanta. Anybody ever heard of that? It's a rough place, friend. It's a place of darkness. I mean darkness. Some of them got so many tattoos on their face, you can't even see the skin underneath them. I mean, they used to just tattoo a few places. They got rings hanging off of places, spikes. They cut open their head and put horns in their head. They cut their tongue down the middle and they can wiggle it around like a snake. I've preached down there, and as soon as I start preaching, they fall over in epileptic seizures, start slithering around like a snake. I get out of my car, first thing you see is a demon head. And you come up to that demon head and go through the door. The mouth is a door. You go in there and they call it a head shop. They sell drug paraphernalia. I preach right in front of the Lucky Devil. They sell all kind of wicked clothes for women, so tight. I tell you, so wicked, so ungodly. I set myself up there and begin to preach on a regular basis. I'm on my way down there to preach, and I know I can't go down there with some intellectual gospel. I know they're not going to take time to go point by point by point. I know I need Jesus. I know I need a God that answers by fire. And I know these lost and dying souls need to see one that can save them, can deliver them. And I can't go down there with some half-hearted intellectual argument. I've got to have a demonstration of the power of the living God. So I'm praying and I'm saying, God, talk to me, talk to me. And all of a sudden it comes to me. And the Holy Ghost said in a near audible voice, today you will preach to a man, and if he doesn't get saved when you preach to him, he'll be in hell forever tomorrow. I tucked that in the back of my heart and said, Lord, just let me know where he is and who he is. I started preaching, And they made a bonfire out of Gideon Bibles. Gideon Bibles are being given out. They got lighter fluid. They're spraying it on the Gideon Bibles, making fire. They're just chanting, mocking, manifesting devils, and I'm preaching. And here's this young man just a screaming at me. I'm telling him, Jesus died for you. Jesus suffered and bled and died for you. Quit trampling upon his blood. Quit doing these things. Turn from your sin and turn to Jesus and live. And a young man just so full of the devil, hates God so much, he's screaming, angry, red in the face, mad, hurting my ears, crackling my ears, how loud he's screaming in my face, can't hardly be heard for all the noise and chaos that's going around. Just a man with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost said, that's the man. That's the man. That's him. I turned over to him, and I said, Brian, I'd learned his name, Brian. I said, Brian, you got to get saved right now. God told me if you don't get saved right now, you're going to be in hell forever in the morning. I said, you need to get saved right now. He went from red face mad to pale face humble as fast as you could snap your fingers. I didn't know what I was saying. See, we start to hear from God. We just don't know what will happen. All of a sudden, he grabbed me and said, I need to talk to you, preacher. Tears streaming down his face. Sat me sound on the side of the road, cars going by on Ponce de Leon Boulevard, leaned over, and he said, I'm killing myself tonight. He said, I got a knife, but I'm looking for a gun. You know where a gun is? I said, no, I'm not looking for a gun. You're going to give your heart to Jesus Christ, and you're going to get saved. You're going to get right with God, and God's going to give you joy for depression when your suicidal spirit's going to go. And God's going to give you life and life more abundantly. I said, pray this prayer. He bowed his head, closed his eyes, and prayed that prayer with me. Prayed the sinner's prayer. He jumped up off of that sidewalk and said, what is this? He said, what is this? All the depression, all the suicidal thoughts are gone. I'm full of happiness. I said, that's joy unspeakable. You just got saved. The angels are rejoicing. I said, that's Jesus come to set up rule and reign in your heart. And he's come to bless you, my friend. He said, what do I do now? I said, Brian, what I want you to do is go tell somebody what happened to you. Because the Bible says, if you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before heaven. Amen. He ran over to my brother-in-law, ran up to him and said, he told him what happened. And my brother-in-law said, I saw what happened. He said, as soon as you prayed the sinner's prayer to receive Jesus Christ, the fire on those Bibles supernaturally just were extinguished. There's gas, there's lots of Bible down there, there's lighter fluid on there, and the fire just goes out. My brother-in-law grabbed one of the Bibles as he was watching us pray through, and he walked over to Brian, gave him a Bible, and he said, you take that Bible and remember how close you were. Plucked from the fire. Plucked from the fire. I tell you, I didn't win that man to the Lord. The Lord won that man to the Lord. It's the God that answers by fire that we need again. These kids aren't going to listen to our arguments. They're not watching our documentaries about how we're proving Christianity to be true by here. They need to see it. They need to feel it. They need a reality. Jesus Christ is Lord, and he's a God that answers by fire. Can you give him praise? Forms, church, are not enough. Ceremonies will not suffice. See, it took the Holy Ghost moving through prophets of old to cleanse Naaman, to cleanse Mary Magdalene. And it's going to take that same God that answers by fire again. The actions of such men don't consist in holding on to religion, holding on to ruts. Heaven sent revival and revelation of this to a doomed and dying world is what we need. Little wonder the fires of revival are burning so low. When millions of supposed Christians trying to penetrate the darkness, trying to compete with horoscope readings, astrology, fortune telling, and psychics. You may belittle heartfelt religion, my friend. You may talk to me about the dangers of emotionalism. But I'll tell you, the Church of Jesus Christ is suffering and dying, and the world's going to hell because we've raised up a species of Christianity that's pale, that's dry, that's cold. But one more time, let the God that answers by fire, let him be God. The God that saves to the uttermost is the God of this Bible. The God that's always healed is the God of this Bible. The one who can fill men with his presence and set them on fire is the God of this Bible. Baal religion says no one can receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Baal religion says people won't be healed in here tonight. Who are you listening to? Everywhere uninspired religion says, just get along. Don't cause too many waves. Don't get too emotional about this thing. But the God that answers by fire will set your soul on fire. See, Paul believed in a Christ who could save to the uttermost. He preached a gospel that included and insisted upon the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. He preached and practiced a gospel of healing the sick and casting out devils. And the Apostle Paul stands on the shores of eternity tonight and cries out to us in this congregation, if any man or angel from heaven preach any other gospel, let him be accursed. Let's stand to our feet. Let's stand our feet across this congregation tonight. Lift your hands up to the Lord and call upon the God that answers by fire. Lord, send your fire again. Lord, send your fire again. Can you call upon the God of this Bible, the God of this book that heals the sick, that'll touch blind men and make blind eyes see? Can you pray to the God that takes deaf ears and make them hear? Can you pray to the God that told Lazarus to come out of that grave? Can you pray to the God that got 120 people in that upper room and caused them to be filled and go out and change the world? I tell you, you can serve your dead God. You can have your pale, cold religion. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Christianity without revival is not Christianity. Christianity that doesn't serve God with all of its heart is not Christianity. Come on now. Don't settle, church. Don't settle. Don't let the standard down. Some of you have seen the power. Some of you have felt the power. Some of you have seen things happen. And I tell you, God's ready to do it again, church. God's ready to pour himself out at these altars tonight. These altars are sanctified and set apart tonight. And we can meet with a God. If you'll lay that body on the altar, if you'll lay that body on an old-fashioned rugged altar, fire will fall. The fire never falls on an empty sacrifice. And the fire tonight is going to fall on these altars. If you'll take that body offered up as a living sacrifice, you're not going to die down here, but you're going to live down here. You'll come down here and say, God, I lay this body down. I lay this body as a vessel. Live through me, talk through me, love through me, joy through me, breathe through me, live through me, talk through me. His fire will come and he'll inhabit you. He will possess you. He will talk through you. He will be what he's looking for in this world. Amen. Father, we thank you this evening for your Holy Ghost fire. I ask you, Father, for us all to come around these altars tonight. I pray the devil not get one person out of these altars till they've touched the fire of God. I pray every person that comes down to these altars tonight offer up their body, holy and acceptable to you. And I pray, Lord, you touch lives, change lives. Lord, I'm tired of seeing people touch but not change. I'm tired of going to churches and see people move for a moment but not change for eternity. I pray, Lord, at these altars tonight, there would be such a touch, there would be such a change that people would not be able to go back to dead, cold, dry, pale religion, but they would be moved into the Spirit and live there, walk there, breathe there, and go on in your presence. Amen. Will you come tonight?
We hope this message was a blessing to you and would like to invite you to visit Faith Tabernacle on Sundays at 10:30 a.m., 6 p.m., or Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Our website is www.faith-tabernacle.com. We would love to hear from you.